Yes, that was June 21st, 2005.
We need to put those signs up, because then you guys will be informed. We need to.
Like yesterday?
Just one more from now. Can I get that?
I don't.
Yes.
6:30, according to my watch. So why don't we begin, and are there any citizen comments? All right, seeing none, John, welcome to the Finance Committee. This is your first meeting since your last meeting.
Last time around, yes.
So are there any committee reports?
Mr. Chairman, first I'd like to start by introducing our new Youth and Governance member, Daniela Hernandez. And could you say your full last name, please?
I'm Daniela Bander Hernandez.
That's right. And welcome to committee. And I think what I've seen is you've gotten information from the administration, so you know about the meetings. And we'll keep that flow of information going. If you ever have any questions, I can be your point of contact, but anyone on the committee would love to help. Would you like to say anything about the school? I know you mentioned your school, but anything else you'd like to say here?
No, I'm good.
What's your opinion on resolution number 5?
what school are you? Do you go to?
I attend Indian Trail High School and Academy.
And you're in District 15, are you?
I'm in District 10 under Andy Burke.
Oh, that's right, Andy Burke. Okay. And we could possibly go around the table, starting with our chair here.
Terry Rose. I'm in the 2nd District.
And I'm Dave Gertzen, District 15.
And I'm Aaron Decker, District 22.
John Franco, District 13.
Tim Stocker, District 14.
Mary Fasci, I'm an accountant here at Kenosha County and the recording secretary.
Barna Bench, the budget director.
Patty Merrill, I'm the finance director.
And also we have Ignacio Perez, but he's unable to attend. He had some family affairs that he couldn't, that he had to attend to, so he's unable to attend today.
John Poole was excused because he had to attend to his wife who's had chemotherapy. Let's see, who are we?
Supervisor Gray.
Supervisor Gray.
Had sent him, said he was not be here.
Okay, all right.
Mr. Chairman, a couple other items. We had an item on our agenda that we were going to defer to this meeting related to the sale of F. And
right.
I think you're aware that we're deferring that to July.
Yes.
And I understood that the chair had a heads up on that.
Yes.
And then maybe at the end of the meeting, if we could have a little discussion on the budget, the state budget and the shared revenue that we were doing in the beginning of the meeting. I actually had a note that possibly just a brief discussion on that at the end of the meeting.
I was going
to
do that.
Oh.
And ask for that also.
And I yield. Thank you.
All right. Any other committee members? All right. Seeing none. The minutes, May 11th.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Discussion. Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? All right, we'll go to item 6, Public Works Resolution, and who is going to present that? All right.
Thank you, Chairman and Supervisors.
Why don't you introduce yourself?
I'm Chris. I'm the new CFO for Public Works, taking over for Jim Kupfer. This will be my first resolution that I've ever done.
And all right.
What better one than trying to get an acceptance of $3 million? Clement's here in case I screw that up, so we still get that $3 million. So the resolution is just to authorize the Highway Commissioner to collect $3,074,138 from Majestic Midwest Innovation Center, LLC, for improvements specifically to the intersection of Highway K and 104th Avenue. this is a smaller resolution, so I suppose I can read through it rather quickly. Whereas Majestic Midwest Innovation Center, MMIC, is developing its real estate property located at the northwest quadrant of Highway K and 104th Ave intersection, which will require major highway improvements and signalization at the intersection. And whereas the required intersection improvement is scheduled to occur concurrently with the future reconstruction of Highway K corridor from 115th Ave to 94th Court, whereas MMIC has agreed to fund the intersection improvements and are willing to contribute $3,074,138 to Kenosha County for the highway improvements and installation of signalized intersection. Now, therefore, be resolved, the Kenosha County Board authorizes the Highway Commissioner to accept $3,074,138 to be used for the reconstruction and signalization of the intersection of Highway K and 104th Ave. This is part of Highway K's Phase 2. We're just wrapping up Highway Phase 1. That went from basically the railroads by the school at Indian Trail to just past Highway H at 94th Court. This is now taking it from 94th Court to 115th Ave, which is over by Harley, roughly. That intersection at 104th would be constructed either way, just not to the degree that the city would require for the development and the traffic that MMIC needs. So rather than reconstructing it and then a couple years later having to reconstruct it again, it just makes more sense that this MOU is constructed between the county and MMIC to do it all as one plan. And through the plans that were submitted to the engineers, the $3,074,138 is the cost to complete that whole intersection with a 5% contingency. I will throw it out there because it gets asked at every level when we talk about this. If it goes over, what happens? Essentially, the county eats it. We believe that to be a very low risk. The county has analyzed the plans, and the flip side of it is, if the funds were to come under, the county also keeps it. So that is everything I have to say, and hopefully I or Clement can answer any questions.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I would move approval with some discussion.
Second.
All right, go ahead.
We've got some good representatives to discuss this. We have Mr. Battle there. Todd, can you discuss the development that's going there a bit, who the developer is and who the owner is?
So Todd Battle with Zilber Property Group. The site is owned by the Potawatomi. Zilber has been working with them on a kind of a development plan for the entire site. The park, the business park being created there is called Greenway. So the eastern half of the site is scheduled to be essentially an extension of the business park of Kenosha in terms of look and feel and types of development. So further business park, industrial park, and as you get towards the western end of the site, the plan is for more of a mixed use development with a number of different uses in there.
Is there an estimate of what the value might be and post completion over the next 5 or 10 years?
Very early estimates, but it's several hundred million dollars when you take the total investment in the site, the infrastructure, the industrial developments, and the future mixed use developments would come there.
Is that in a TIF?
Yes.
It's in a TIF. And is Heartland in that area?
Heartland is in the same area. Their site has developed. It's already been developed on kind of the southeast corner of, or I guess be the northwest corner of the intersection of 104th and K. So that's, you know, considered part of the Greenway development. That parcel has already been, meet Heartland's timelines, that parcel has already been developed. It was essentially kind of parceled off to Heartland to encourage that development. But it's, envisioned as part of the overall Greenway Park development.
Is this going to be connected in any way to the property acquisition west of the interstate?
Probably to be determined. Not sure about that.
To be determined, okay. And that concludes my questions at this time. Thank you.
Further discussion, John?
Hi. Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. This happens to be in my district, so I've got a couple questions. I know we talked quite a bit about this, and I know that some work is going to be started tomorrow. This second phase, and correct me if I'm wrong, is contingent upon funding still before it actually gets done?
Correct.
Okay.
We have already been applying for funding. We've applied for the RACE grant. We are still waiting for the determination.
Okay.
We'll also be applying for the state transportation program funding. So we are hoping that at some point we're going to get some funding this year and probably start the design this year or early next year. If we start the design early next year, 24, then it will be 26 construction.
Before it starts construction?
Okay. Yes,
so we're
it typically
talking
takes
years.
About 2 years because of right-of-way acquisition and and just the design protocol that we typically use to design those projects.
Just one request, though, when you eventually do it, can you make sure the timer on the signal is not, I got so many complaints on the signal itself.
Yeah.
It was very slow. Remember, we talked about that.
So, it would definitely be, you see, the signal that will be installed will be more intelligent in the sense that it will have all the devices to detect the different traffic movement to make sure that the timing is done correctly. Mm-hmm. Why you were experiencing that during construction is because it's just a temporary light and it's just running free. So it just says, okay, you get green, but the ones that we're going to be installing will be more intelligent. It will be able to detect the number of traffic. If there's no traffic on the side street, it will keep the lights on where there's traffic.
So smart signals, not dumb signals, basically. Okay.
We call them intelligent devices.
Intelligent devices, okay. Fair enough. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Anything else?
Yes.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. You mentioned the smart signal. So when they were redoing KR, I walked up and down the road there. I walked a lot of miles there. And part of the phase that they did there was they were burying cables.
Yes.
And the cables were being buried to put in one of the most modern signalization systems in the country.
They put in fiber optic.
That's what they were running, fiber optic.
Yeah.
Is that what they're doing here?
No.
No.
At the same time, we are also running a parallel program in the city to how to manage our signalized intersections. We have roughly about 10 signal intersections, and I've been opportune to be a traffic signal engineer in California, where it's very elaborate, and so I kind of understand what is meant to have what they call a traffic management center. Where you can sit in one location and manage them. But technology has advanced that instead of burying those cables, we can go wireless.
Oh.
So we're actually talking to one consultant right now and trying to develop a central management system, in which case it's very portable. I don't have to be in the office to be able to see what's happening in the signal. Again, that will come down once we determine how we're going to do that, how we can make that work, and then we'll get to put that in the budget, and then that will be brought again in front of you. But Shelley and I and Kwame, we are looking into all those different aspects on how we can manage our system more efficiently. Because first of all, the socioeconomic footprint of the county is exploding exponentially. That also means you're going to be having traffic. So with our signals, we cannot just continue leaving signals that were designed in 1930s, because they will not be able to handle the traffic volume. So we are looking to the future to see how we're going to upgrade those signals, make them more manageable. Basically, we are trying to be preparing for the future.
Right, they're on KR, they work really good. I've never seen anything like that in my life.
So we're going to be having something like that in KR, but much more. We'll be able to see what is happening in the cabinet. You could tell which device is faulty without burying anything on the ground, in the ground. And that reduces the cost of the fiber optic itself. That reduces maintenance costs. And because your computer will be talking to your cabinet by sitting in the office. And so very soon, I'm just simply saying that very soon the fiber optic will become obsolete.
Thank you. I yield.
Anyone else?
Yes,
I just had a question. What are they using on Highway 50 with the signals? Is it the fiber or is it the wireless or nothing?
I'm not sure what is actually, I don't know whether it's copper or fiber optics, but I sincerely think it's fiber optics. The idea was in the in the early stages when they were reconstructing Highway KR, it was because they were trying to design it and build it in such a way that it was going to accommodate smart traffic for the Foxconn. But as time goes on, the Foxconn thing is kind of weighing down. And so you're having this big structure and things that we planned and probably might not use them. But basically what the fiber optic does is that it gives you an opportunity to do what they call a signal coordination or synchronization, so that if you have a series of signal, instead of you stopping at every signal, you can gauge in such a way that by the time you leave this signal, hit signal two, you'll be hitting at green, and that helps a lot in moving the traffic. It helps a lot to reduce air pollution, and it also reduces accident because nobody's becoming anxious because you're just having a free flow. However, if you speed, if you drive like me, you might miss those coordination because sometimes you're driving too fast. Because those coordination are based on the posted speed limit of the road. So if you drive too fast, and then therefore you can be out of coordination, so you might still hit them and get red instead of getting green.
Yeah. All right, further discussion? All right, we're ready to vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
Using governance.
Yes. How would you like Daniello? I forgot.
How would you like to vote, Daniello, on this resolution?
Aye. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good job on your first presentation.
We're 12 and other people are here against
them. All right, the item 7 is next, the Sheriff's Department Resolution of supporting a memorandum of understanding between the department and other departments. Hello.
Good evening. I'm Mayor Clint Cameron. I'm the captain with the Sheriff's Department. We're here before you today to ask for approval of an MOU between our department, Pleasant Prairie Police Department, Twin Lakes Police Department, the City of Kenosha Police Department. So this resolution would formalize what we've been doing on a temporary basis with mutual aid to formalize our major crash assistance team. What this team does is, if there is a major crash involving a fatality, or injury that would result, that could result in death, we call it the stricken agency, or the agency whose jurisdiction that the crash occurs in, will notify the crash team, and in a very short time he will have a team of very skilled crash investigators at that scene to investigate that crash. So the main benefits of this is that we will have expertise at our crash scenes from all of the departments. This training and this equipment, and the equipment involved to investigate these crashes, are it's tough for one department to have, in a county of our size, for one department to have all of the expertise just in their department. Lake County has been doing this for years, and it's a very successful program down there. And we've kind of modeled our crash team on the Lake County crash team.
Discussion.
Mr. Chairman, I would approve and then discussion. I would move to approve and then discussion.
Second.
On the discussion, I love the project. I know in the Village of Summers, every time I go to their meetings, this is one of the top things they talk about, having help with this. When I read through the documents, the question I had is, so it covers all of the law enforcement agencies in the county, The sheriff acts as a police agency for some of the municipalities, like the Village of Summers. So would it also cover that?
Yes. It will cover all of the jurisdictions that we cover.
Okay, good. Thank you. That's my question.
Anyone else? All right, seeing no further discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? We'll circulate the resolution.
Using governance?
Oh, I'm sorry. yes, we're supposed to call on you first, but I've been calling you, on you last.
I vote aye.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Here's the resolution. All right, next number is number 8. John Moyer, you're going to present this transfer of parcel to the city?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee members. This resolution asks for approval to transfer a very small parcel, which was taken in REM under the in-REM tax foreclosure law in December of 2022. Subsequent to that, the city approved that they're taking that parcel with tax forgiveness. The total tax due between 2017 and the taking of the deed was somewhere between $53 and $54. It's essentially, you know, a revetment or erosion control parcel. We've taken, we've refrained from taking some of these parcels because we have no purpose for them. The way the laws are written with regard to assessments and being able to essentially maintain these types of lots favors a city having them rather than a county or a subdivision below the county having these parcels, because they can assess property owners that benefit from ownership of lots like this. Really, the main thing here is that there's revetment protection of First Avenue in the city. City does want this lot. I had already reached out to the city prior to agreeing to take the tax deed, and they had indicated they would accept the transfer. So I'm just asking the committee to approve the transfer of this parcel to the city so that they then take over the maintenance of this parcel.
Yes.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Sorry. All right.
And I have questions.
Sure. Who made the second?
Tim.
All right. Go ahead.
I looked it up. It's 0.01 of an acre. How did this land get subdivided? Was there more land before erosion, or?
I mean, it's an excellent question, and I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to answer.
Okay.
But I do know that, yeah, there's been, you know, I think we all know that over the years there's been erosion in this area, and just in Lake Michigan in general, like by Carthage, for example. But, yeah, why this odd lot was created, I know that some of the people that live on First Avenue own the properties.
Which that makes sense.
A few, you know, across the street. Why? I suppose because, you know, that guarantees the view. You really
like
can't
rights.
Build on these, but I mean, there is a responsibility for revetment and protection, really, of First Avenue. How or why this little tiny thing existed?
Because it's literally rocks.
Yeah.
The cement rocks, because I looked at the photo on the map.
Or water.
Yeah,
water
or
rocks,
the
right.
Retaining wall rocks.
I don't think
and
it
the taxes collected each year were like $2.40 or something like that.
Correct, yes. That's why it's such a small amount of tax overage. But, yeah, I mean, whether this lot was larger at one time or not, I don't know. I don't think it was in any recent time, because we know of lots that are in existence that are completely underwater. So I tend to think this was just the way it was carved up because of the... This is like the last lot on that line, so it must have just been a little remnant that was created. But
okay, true.
Best I can do. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Who owns it now?
Well, the county owns it at the moment.
I mean, before that,
it was Virginia Anderson Trust. It was a trust. I think it was a property owner nearby.
Yeah, she was on Second Avenue.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, through the chair to Attorney Moyer. So this will help the city do this shoreline revetment and erosion control project.
Well, yeah, I mean, it would transfer it from the county's ownership to the city, you know, so they want to bring in rocks and so forth. They don't, have to get permission or work with the county. It's their little piece of land or parcel.
So we're helping them do this project by approving this.
Yes, I mean, you could certainly say that. I mean, we're helping them maintain that erosion control along First Avenue.
And they're, I haven't read or seen anything in their budget on the scope of the project, but I understand it's a very large project. Does anyone have any knowledge of the scope of the project, the shoreline revetment project they're doing?
I believe it's north of $20 million. It's a lot.
Sounds like it's similar to what we were looking at when we were looking at ours. Now, has anyone heard how that, when they do this project, is there any credible information on how it'll affect down the line, how it will affect other shorelines? If, you know, will it affect us at all? Or I'd be happy to hear.
Yeah, that's okay.
Supervisor Rodriguez.
Yes. What my time on Public Works, and I think a little bit on planning as well, it was noted that because the city plans on doing such a substantial project, that the parts of the shoreline, for example, Kemper, that the city does not own and would not work on, would feel the brunt, if you will, of storms in the future, because they won't be as fortified, if you will, from damaging waters. So essentially, non-city owned properties would erode faster.
Thank you. That's what I've heard. I haven't seen any official reports on how it would affect the county, but we're helping them do the project, and the county will be negatively affected by it. I don't think there's anything to be done here. We approved this today, but I don't know if there's anything we could do to at least learn from the city what's going to happen and what we can do about it, since we're trying to work with them and help them, you know. And with that, I yield.
Anyone else? Seeing no further discussion, all those in favor say aye.
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 Excuse me.
Yes, thank you for reminding me.
How are you doing?
All right, very good.
All right, thank you.
Good job. We have the audit of bills, and were those circulated? No. So we'll begin circulating that with Dave. There are a series of possible reports here.
There is nothing from human resources. There's not a general fund report this month. We'll begin coming forward with that in July. I did want to report to the committee that the FICA alternative plan has begun to move forward. It will be implemented effective July 2nd. Employees that are eligible are being notified by mail. Some of you may have received something in the mail. It is a mandatory program, so basically that's what the correspondence lets them know, is that they will be switched over to this plan. But HR is handling the correspondence, but I did want to notify the committee that that is underway.
And that's it for reports.
That is it for reports, except Supervisor Geertsen had a question about the sheriff.
Is that okay, Mr. Chairman?
Sure.
Since we had kind of a quick meeting tonight, if we could talk about it.
I was going to say,
Harry,
you don't like quick meetings?
I love quick meetings, but I also, I like to work too, you know. We've read a lot. Do we know much about how it'll, I mean, you'd know better than us because you've been digging deeper.
We had done some preliminary calculations, and then there were negotiations going on, and things were changing, so we stopped. We had received some initial information on how much, I mean, our shared revenue component, absent the utility aid, because utility aid is not affected by this, is $1.34 million. Supplemental aid that it was being proposed in the initial stuff was a little over $1 million. So that was great. But then we got concerns because we were seeing personal property going away, computer aids going away, and our personal property aid and our computer aid totaled close to $1 million.
Right.
So we were almost at a break even. However,
in what we have received that was, I believe, not modified when it was adopted, it looks as though the personal property that we do receive will remain intact. The shared revenue eliminates the rest of personal property. So that component that went into effect in 2017 was on machinery and equipment, mainly for manufacturing, but other personal property, office furniture, things like that were still being assessed. This does away with that assessment, not effective, not for our 24 budget, because those assessments are done 1/1/23. So that will be in effect for 24, but 1/1/25. 1/1/24, no more personal property will be assessed. 1/1/25, there will be no more personal property tax. But this stated that counties will be held harmless. In other words, we should get a component that what we're losing for that as well.
Right,
we have not seen dollars on that, but
I've heard that too.
Yes,
you're gonna make up for that.
Yes, so that was good. We were happy to hear that.
Not increasing tax, standpoint.
Yeah, we have not seen anything on the computer aid, so we're still researching that.
What is computer aid?
Computer aid.
Computer aid.
I don't remember how much we get. About 150. No, it was 300,000. Because between the two, it was close to 100.
Yeah.
So we don't know if that's going away or if that also will continue. So we're still researching that. What we have read on the shared revenue is that counties' portion should increase by at a minimum 10%. So 10% of the million, 1.34 million, would be under 34,000. There is a formula that could potentially make it higher, but my preliminary blush, we haven't run those numbers yet, are saying that we really aren't going to see that component. It has to do more with the levy limits, and because our net new construction was higher than the levy limits, we're not really qualifying in some of those buckets. So we're working through those, but we don't have an answer on that yet. I'm expecting it will be that 10% minimum as the increase. And the supplemental then, if not eaten up by the personal property aid, could be an additional $1 million. There are strings attached to the supplemental. It has to be used for law enforcement, public works. I don't remember everything else.
Emergency services.
Yeah, so
I just saw one today. Courts was another one.
Courts was another one. That's right. I had that in mind. So we're working through all of that now, and we'll come forward with what those calculations are once we have finished those.
So we were going to have another budget visioning session in August, if my memory is right. So I'm guessing that will be well laid out as part of that process.
I mean, the one in August is more CIP, more capital
driven,
yes. But certainly if the supervisor requests it, we could have carve out a little time for that.
Well, I thought in that one we would also talk about where we are with the overall levy and the taxes and that, because it's part of that too, and a discussion on that.
Yeah.
But that's just me, I believe one. I, for some reason, I thought that would be part of that.
Is there anything on that? Here's
incorrect. He's talking about the meeting in August. Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And so that meeting, right now you're thinking mainly capital.
Right.
But since it's like a precursor, we're not going to have another meeting before we get the budget in October, right? It's a precursor. We might know some stuff about health insurance.
Right.
We might know some stuff about sales tax, and we'll have the state budget better understood.
Okay.
So we could give some forecasting maybe in that we've been. Or maybe that'll come from the bonding anyway. But if we have some forecasting that flows from the bonding, then that would probably just be a 5 or 10 minute piece that would be a good exposure to the board so that they would have an understanding where we're going with the overall tax. But that's just me, it's the administration's call.
To be honest with you, it's our first year of doing this, so it's kind of still free flowing as well.
Good.
Anything further?
I would just let the committee know that typically we come forward with the advisory letter in July, and also the authorizing resolution to set the amount for the sale in August of the bonds. So we'll be looking forward to that for July.
So we're a little discussion before. So if you put the resolution on the table, one could table it.
Yeah.
I mean, essentially, that's what you're saying, or suggesting, is that it be tabled to the next year.
Yeah, we could defer it, and what's defer indefinitely? Is that defer indefinitely?
Or suspend?
That's you're not revoking the idea.
Right. Yeah. Just defer it.
Could be revived.
Yeah. And we would just defer that the 2024 one indefinitely. And then a new one for 2025 could come in, and the one for 2026 would come in under the existing policy.
So
either that, or you just don't make any motions and just.
So just as to respect the idea of the resolution, if you put it on the table, it can be deferred, it can be adopted, it can be whatever you want to do with it. But don't you think you ought to calendar and then decide
as
the
chair to. I'd respect your judgment on that, and if that's how you'd like to go, I'd be happy to get her on the table and handle it formally. So if that's all, that's interesting.
I think that's an easy way of doing it.
And it keeps the thing alive in the future,
right.
Although this year we have determined to, or we may will decide at the meeting.
Yes. All right. So you just put it on the agenda.
Yes. The resolution requires that administration bring it forward.
Yeah.
What the committee does with it after we bring it forward is up to you.
And then this Highway F would be on there as well.
Yes, correct. That is planned for.
And is there any other special request that something else be placed on the agenda other than that which we would do routinely?
I don't think so. I have been made aware of at this point.
And you said you were going to put something about bonding?
The advisory or the authorizing resolution
for the
committee and the board to authorize us going to sale in August.
Okay. All right. Anything further?
Are we going to do a bond rating this year?
Yes.
Do we have timing for that?
We are still targeting the end of July, beginning of August. Those dates have not been set yet. There were discussions going on right now as to what the format of the bond rating will be this year.
Is that going to be here in Kenosha? Or?
We're not sure.
All right.
That's where the discussions are on.
TBD.
I had one more. That was the GFOA conference. Was that?
That was very good.
Yeah.
Yes.
Any takeaways that the committee might like to hear? The government finance officers had their annual conference.
Yes. Many of us attended that conference. It was held in Portland, Oregon. I've never been to Portland. Portland is a sad city right now. But that's not what the conference itself was very good. I know that we need to look further into AI because ChatGPT is taking over the world and we need to take advantage of it. A lot of the discussion in sessions I attended had to do with the debt ceiling and obviously what would be happening if that were not to have been resolved. Obviously that's been resolved.
I go to a lot of budget, obviously, related seminars, so it's always good to hear what other people do and as far as the relaying of information. So Matt Lays and I came away with some ideas on even this most recent budget memo that we put out as part of the rollout of the budget incorporated some of the information that was suggested in some of the sessions we went to. There was a session on GASB 96 that we'll be talking about later this next month. We'll even be discussing and the rollout of that in this year and then how it'll affect going forward.
So 96 is
effective.
What does it cover?
96 has to do with SBITAs,
which is subscription based software.
IT agreements. SBITA. So it's a continuation of the lease, the 87 GASB 87 having to do with leases. This is leases on steroids.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what it means is the Microsoft 365, the 3-year or 5-year contracts that we have within our agreements where we're paying per prescription, it's changing how we're going to account for that.
It's still capitalizable?
It's going to be capitalized, but it's going to flip from, you have to amortize it, so it actually flips it from capital to operational. So.
Anything on cybersecurity?
I did attend something on cybersecurity. I'm blanking on it right now.
That's my thing I worry about.
Yes, I know.
And by worrying about it, nothing will happen. So it's not kind
of
what.
Yeah, there were a lot of good sessions. Chris, is there anything that Chris attended as well?
Yeah, I mean, I was in some of the budget ones that Farnham have been to. Otherwise, I attended a lot of like leadership, communication type sessions, yeah, just to help growth for me and my department.
Anything on rating for governments? This would be my last question. Where we've got
those are good questions. We know you don't want to go home.
My guess was the meeting was going to last 45 minutes.
Yeah. No, I'm just
joking. Go ahead. I know it's close that we're going to be there. That's a little fast. So I forget the acronym for if you're in a zone that's subject to civil unrest, floods. Earthquakes. What's the why am I
ESG?
Was there anything on ESG?
They really didn't dwell on it last year. There were sessions on it, and this year there really was not. A lot of the rating agencies keep talking about how that's incorporated as part of their rating. They can separate that out, so it really wasn't as called out as much this year in the agenda items.
I went to one session because it spoke about reserves and the use of reserves for contingencies like that. But they spoke more, instead of the reserve part of it, they spoke more on all the global climate and how these natural disasters. It was kind of scary, a lot of the graphs that they're showing that these disasters are really growing in number and severity. And so it's
uninsurable.
Putting these municipalities, at risk, and it's like you said, uninsurable.
Anyone? Anything else? All right. Did somebody want to move to adjourn?
Move to adjourn.
Second. Well, is in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right. Thank you for coming.
Some sessions I feel better after coming out of.